How thankful we are that thy word has been preserved throughout all ages, even now unto this time. We are thankful, Father, that we have thy word in a simple form, Lord, where we can read it and understand it. And Father, we have many Bibles at home. We have a government that allows us to come here and worship together and to read from thy word without interference. Father, we have so many privileges and so many opportunities. Father, we just pray thee that we would be wise in our ways and wisely use, Father, these opportunities and these privileges that have been entrusted unto us. And so we would ask thee that thou speak to us in this evening hour, for we look to thee and to thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the epistle of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1.
Nađena je prva poslanica Petrova, prva glava.
When are we, 12 verses, yeah.
Prva 12 brojeva.
We'll read the first 12 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and it searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. May God bless this reading of this. See that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And right away we see then in the next chapter that Satan was able to tempt and overcome both Adam and Eve, and they did partake of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And from that point on, they began to die. Because God said so. And because when God says so, it comes to pass. And so they were then on this downward course. And they were dying from that moment on. And they did perish, and their bodies did decay. And all mankind from that point on did die because of that disobedience. And then from that point on, also, then God made a plan. God put a plan in place that men could be redeemed. Men could have salvation. Salvation meaning rescue, to save, to pull away from that death that Adam and Eve had caused this curse to come. And so when, as God was putting this plan in place, he brought forth prophets, as we read here in this chapter, that they would prophesy, even in the spirit of Christ, that there was grace coming, there was mercy coming. And so so we can begin with perhaps the last part of this reading that we have had this evening, where it says in verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They were inquiring and they were searching this diligently of this grace that should come unto us who live in this time and in this dispensation of grace. And and it continues on saying, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Spirit of Christ was already working in the prophets of the Old Testament. The Spirit of Christ was telling the prophets that Christ was coming and that he would suffer, and then after his suffering, he would be glorified. Unto whom it was revealed to these prophets that not unto themselves, it wasn't this prophecy that the prophets were prophesying wasn't to themselves, but it was unto us that they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which thing the angels desire to look into. And so it was that from the beginning of time, after Adam and Eve were cursed, that there was a salvation coming. There was a rescue from this death that was imputed to all mankind. There was this rescue plan put in place, a saving plan, and that plan was through Jesus Christ. And so we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam we die, but in Christ we are made alive. And the prophets have prophesied of this, that Christ was coming. There was a salvation plan in place that we would be redeemed, that we would be saved, that we would be spared from this penalty of death that came through Adam. And so in the Bible, it says, God says in prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3, God says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And these are the things that God was revealing to all mankind there through Jeremiah and then through the other prophets as well, that God was going to show great and mighty things which we knew not. They didn't know. The angels were desiring to look into it. The prophets were desiring and searching what manner of time this would be and how this would all work out. But God is saying, call unto me and I will answer you. And when I answer you, I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so Peter here is reflecting upon these great and mighty things which we didn't know about, mankind did not know about, and it's the working of God and of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Peter begins this his first epistle here, and this verse was referred to last Wednesday night when 2 Peter chapter 2 was read, that Peter is addressing strangers. These are strangers who, in the next chapter, Peter says, you're pilgrims and you're strangers in this land. You're not a part of this land. Your home is in heaven. And so he's speaking to them as strangers. As strangers, as those of us who don't belong. This is not our world. We have a home in heaven above with God. And so we're strangers here. And then it says that they're scattered throughout all these regions. And so when we think of how difficult that must have been when these faithful who were strangers in their own land, how they were scattered. And when we think of the comfort and the joy that we can have when we're together, we're collected and we're established and all that comes with that. And then the disruption and the difficulty that would come when there is a scattering. But yet God saw it this way. God saw it this way, that he would scatter the strangers, that he would scatter his people, and that he would place them in all these different regions, in all these different areas. And in this way, the word of God propagated and grew. And so sometimes when we think that, oh, these people had it so difficult, they were persecuted in their own land and they were scattered throughout all these regions. No, God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Sometimes we look at a very difficult situation, but in the end, God means it for good. There's a good that's going to come out of this. And there was a good that came out of this event as well. And so these strangers, these faithful, were scattered throughout all these regions. And the Apostle Peter continues on and he says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. These were elect, and those of us who have faith in this plan of salvation, these great and mighty things that God has shown unto us and has revealed them unto us, made them known to us by the preaching of the prophets and through the preaching of the Holy Ghost and the Acts of the Apostles and throughout all time and the scriptures that we have now, we have become elect. We have become chosen. We have become the selected ones. And so he's saying here in verse number 2 that we are elect. We are elect. And Jesus speaks of the elect ones as well in the Gospels, and we read it in the New Testament as well. Jesus speaks there in Matthew 24 about the great tribulation that shall come. And it's going to be a tribulation that has never been before, or neither shall be. And except God would shorten those days, there would be no flesh that would be saved. No flesh would be saved if God didn't shorten those days or make them to come to an end closer, or however he's going to do that. But it says, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. For those of us that believe and have that saving faith in the salvation and in the mighty and great things that God has done, that God will shorten those days. God will do that for his elect. God says that there is no man that can condemn us, because it's God that justifies. God justifies his elect. And God avenges his elect. Jesus gave that parable there of how we ought to always pray and not to faint. God avenges his elect. And so as we who are recipients of his grace and of his favor, we receive these blessings of being his selected ones, his chosen ones. And it says, according to the foreknowledge of God. God already knew who was going to accept his word and his teachings and have that belief in the way of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. God already knew that. He had that foreknowledge. It's not that God preordained who was going to be saved and who was not going to be saved. That's a false teaching. But God already knew. He had the foreknowledge. And so through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And so as we call out to God and he answers us, and he shows us these great and mighty things which we didn't know about, we see that his grace comes to us. His peace, it's multiplied. It's multiplied in our hearts. That whatever's going on round about us, that we can have this grace and this peace about ourselves. Because God has ordained us. God has saved us. God has sent his only begotten Son. And we have obedience to that faith that we've come to. And so the next few verses here in this Bible, it says, our lively hope and saving faith. It's in what Jesus Christ, in what God has done through Jesus Christ. And so Peter, again, already here in the very beginning of his epistle, he launches into this a blessing toward God because of who God is. Because God has shown unto us these great and mighty things, things that we can't fully understand and fully know. We cannot fully understand. We know that Jesus Christ has come. We know that God sent his son in love for us. We know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he suffered a very cruel death and separation from his father and all these things. And we know that it was because he loved us, but we fully can't understand the depth of that love. And we never will. We never will. But Peter was there, and Peter spoke with Jesus before and after his crucifixion. And Peter now writes, and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he launches into this blessing of God, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This abundant mercy which God has shown unto us through Jesus Christ when he resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. We now have this lively hope. If Jesus didn't die and raise again, we would be of all men most miserable if we didn't have faith in that. But blessed be God, and we can never thank God, and we can never praise him enough for what he has done for us in the atonement for our sins, this salvation, this redemption through Jesus Christ. And so we have this lively hope. We have grace, we have peace, we have an abundant mercy, and we have a lively hope. That has all come from God. These are the great and mighty things that God wants to show us if we will have faith in him. Grace, peace, abundant mercy, a lively hope. And then we have this inheritance. This inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeless. And it's reserved for us. As we have faith in Jesus Christ, and as we believe in these great and mighty things that God has done for us and wants to bring to our knowledge, that we would know him as such. When I read this verse number 4, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us, it reminds me of the other verse in 1 Corinthians where it says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What God has prepared for us is so far greater than what we can ever imagine. God has that preserved for us, and he's saying, I have these great and mighty things. You don't know about them. And I want to reveal them unto you. I want to give them unto you. We are kept by the power of God. We're kept by his power. He gives us grace. He gives us peace. He gives us abundant mercy. He gives us a lively hope. He gives us an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. And now we are kept by his power. It just builds on itself. It builds and it builds of what God has done. And again, these are the great and mighty things which God wants to reveal to us. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This salvation now has come, and it is in these last times that he's revealing this salvation. Again, salvation meaning rescue, meaning being saved. Saved and rescued from a certain damnation of death that came upon all men because of the disobedience and the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And so we are kept by his power to that salvation. And perhaps we could just take away some of the other verbiage so that we can focus on that this simple truth that we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. The power of God keeps us. It's not that we can overcome temptations of our own self. It's the power of God that gives us the victory over temptation. That's his gift to us. That's his power that he's giving to us. But it takes faith on our part. It's required that we believe. We are going to be challenged. And in our society, we're going to be challenged even more and more. As the society just wants to stamp out Jesus Christ, stamp out God, and have that be of no relevance to our lives. But we have to have faith that what God says in His Word, that is true. And we will be at odds more and more with society round about us. But yet we have to have that faith, that through this faith, we are kept by the power of God. Through this faith, we experience His abundant mercy, this lively hope and grace and peace. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. We rejoice in this inheritance that's ours. We rejoice in this. This lively hope that we're going to receive at the end of our faith, a home in heaven above, to walk on streets of gold, to be in God's presence throughout all eternity. No more sorrows, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. We rejoice in this hope. That we rejoice greatly, the Bible says here. We rejoice greatly in this hope that we have, in this salvation. But for a season, if need be, we're going to be in heaviness through manifold temptations. In the midst of this grace, this peace, this lively hope, this abundant mercy, and this hope of salvation that we have of something so great, we're going to be tempted, and we're going to have some heaviness in this life. But this joy that we have in the Lord supersedes, is greater than this pain and this of the heaviness of the manifold temptations that we will experience. We always have to keep that in perspective. The joy of the Lord is so much greater than any suffering that we would ever have to experience. There's verses that speak to that as well. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glorying at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is what Peter is saying is so precious on our part. God did it all. God sent His Son. God provided unto us grace, peace, mercy, abundant mercy, a lively hope, an inheritance. God did it all. But on our part, it takes faith. Faith to believe that in this plan of salvation. And faith to believe that though we go through these manifold temptations, that God is going to see us through. And so Peter is saying here that this trial of our faith, it's so precious. It's so precious. Don't diminish that preciousness of this trial of our faith, that as we are going, being tried by fire, let our faith grow. Let's be anchored. Let's have that abiding faith in the Lord for what He has done for us. And that when the Lord Jesus Christ would appear, that our faith, the Bible here is saying, that our faith would be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the Lord. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? Here Peter is saying, make your faith to be so strong in the plan of salvation, in what God has done for us. Make that faith to be so strong that when Jesus does appear, that our faith would be found to be so strong that it would be to the honor and to the glory and to the praise of our Lord. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, God showing us these great and mighty things which we knew not before in our unconverted state. We didn't know of these great and mighty things that God was showing to us, of His great love that He had for us. And then as we come to absorb this, and we certainly don't absorb it all in a short time, but it takes a lifetime to absorb more and more of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that though we see Him not, though none of us have ever laid eyes on Jesus Christ, we love Him. We love Him dearly. He has done so much for us. We love Him dearly. And though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. We're rejoicing. We're rejoicing in the salvation that is ours. We're rejoicing in this inheritance that's being given unto us. And then a beautiful verse here in verse number 9 saying, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. God did it all. God did it all. That when Adam and Eve sinned there in the garden, that God put in a plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, that the prophets were saying Jesus Christ was coming. They spoke that in the Spirit of Christ. And the Holy Ghost came there after Jesus was ascended to the apostles, and through the apostles' preaching in the Holy Ghost, that they were all pointing to Christ and the salvation that we can have through Christ. God did it all, but on our part, we need to have an abiding faith in this plan of salvation, in what God has done for us, that we would not be turned around in our lives, but that we would be found to have faith in this plan of salvation. This is what we receive. This is what we receive at the end of our faith. When the Lord comes, and He comes in that great power and great glory, that it's no longer required to have faith. It's no longer required to have hope, because we will then experience what God has prepared for us. But when we come to the end of our faith and we now see the Lord, that we will have this salvation. We will have this rescuing from a certain damnation that was to come to us. These are the great and mighty things that God wants to show unto us and to reveal to us, that we would come to know Him and to love Him more and more. The Bible doesn't have too many exclamation marks. It's more understated. But yet, there is a verse where there are two exclamation marks. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God!" Exclamation mark. There is a great depth to this riches of the wisdom and this knowledge of God. And again, God is saying, I want to show you great and mighty things which you knew not, which you don't know, and I want to show you them. And here the Bible is saying, oh, the depth of this riches of this knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. God hath done great things for all of us who have faith in Him, who believe in this plan of salvation that was revealed to all mankind. The Bible speaks of this as a mystery. And in Colossians we read, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto the saints. This mystery is now being revealed. It's being made known, even as God said there in Jeremiah, that we did not know. But now it had been hid from ages and from generations, but now it's made manifest. Now it's being made known. Now it's being proclaimed to the saints, to the elect, to the strangers, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. God is making known what this riches is to the Gentiles. And here it is. This is the mystery. This is the plan. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. God already put this plan in place at the time of Adam and Eve, that Christ would come in us, that He would come and dwell in us, that He would give unto us this grace, peace, lively hope, an abundant mercy, and an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeless. It's Christ in us. It's working in us. We give God honor and we give Him glory, and we cannot magnify Him enough for all the things that He has done for us. Is a beautiful hymn that we began this service with. O holy heavenly hour, when by the Father's power we are kept by the power of God unto salvation, when by the Father's power Christ's blood made me His own. There He blessed me forever, from Satan's realm did sever. That's the salvation. That's where he saved us from. That's where he rescued us from Satan's realm of death. When to baptism I went down, here in the Lord's good pleasure was given to me this treasure. God, again, he's saying, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you these great and mighty things which you knew not. It's this Lord's good pleasure was given to me this treasure, God's grace in Christ his Son. His grace, the undeserved mercy that we experience through Jesus Christ his Son, that I might be receiving the covenant of his giving, his righteousness I there put on. His righteousness, his goodness. We have it all through our faith. God has given unto us salvation, a saving mechanism from death. It's a faith and an abiding faith in him. God did it all. Will we believe in his plan of salvation? Amen.